Mirage.
Good morning, I'm David Ellis and I welcome you to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It's the Friday edition of the program on the 6th day of April 2018. We're going up until 2 o'clock as usual. Call us at the usual number as well, 434-1790. And we welcome your WhatsApp messages and contributions as well. As we look at where Barbados is, where Barbados appears to be heading, and, of course, I was with you last Wednesday when we had some questions that we posed about the sugar industry and what was happening with some old sugar factories. You would have seen a story in the newspaper yesterday confirming that four factories, when we posed the question, we were talking about two, but we now learn from the minister responsible for agriculture that there are four of these old factories that the government is selling as part of what he describes as the privatization program. Now the question is, had these questions not been posed, when was the government going to tell the public of Barbados that this was the plan? Because truth be told, it does have the appearance of having been done by stealth. And I think we have to be honest enough with this administration to say that the types of arrangements that they have gotten into in recent times have basically put them in a position where there is an absolute necessity to come forward with information early and to give the fullest possible disclosure on what is the plan. We all know that the government has had real difficulty in managing the sugar industry in Barbados since it took over. We had a situation where there was talk of a multipurpose sugar factory, and all we've had with that is talk. The biggest thing that seems to have taken place up there is some event at Easter that it seems as though Dale Marshall from the opposition Labour Party, like he hosts some kite flying competition or something like that up there. But that place remains dormant. If you have been presiding over a sugar industry that basically appears to be going nowhere, and you get involved in the process of selling off old factories, and with that there will be some sugar land as well. But as I understand it, the primary objective here are people who are buying up these old farmlands, or factory lands as they call them, basically to look at the real estate component. So where are we taking the land itself ultimately? What is happening? What are your thoughts on where the sugar industry is going? These are but a few of the important questions that the people of Barbados really ought to get answers to. This leaves a lot of us feeling grossly uncomfortable, and this administration should know that Barbadians are watching with a great degree of concern about how they dispose of this country's assets. I say no more at this stage, but I sincerely hope that we can bring enough of a focus to these issues as a people, that at the end of it all, the majority of the people of Barbados will not feel disadvantaged by the way their affairs have been and will be run. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Miss Ellis. A couple of things there. You don't expect in your dreams or being real that the sugar industry is going to last for the next 20 years. So the focus should not be on the sugar industry really as such, no. What we should be focusing on, the things that you could do with the sugar. The amount of money that we are receiving for a tonnage of sugar is not like years ago. So I am expecting by the next 20 years, no sugar cane harvesting, sending overseas is going to be a thing of the past. With people like Cuba and those other people who will produce whole production of sugar, it's much higher than ours, and can sell their sugar at a cheaper price than Barbados, it's going out. The other thing is that I haven't heard you mention anything about the candidate for St. Lucie who would have departed from the UPP and what I saw in the paper, what she said that the UPP is not, the leadership of the UPP is not serious. Do you read into that?
That she did not consider the UPP to be a serious enough party and that she's thrown her support behind
the Barbados Labour Party.
Well, I believe that the UPP is going to have a lot to deal with as a fledgling party. I mean, they mean well, but they will learn that trying to get a political party together and to keep it together is a very challenging experience.
It is.
You know, I can't say that I don't wish them well. I certainly do, because I think that the presence of these additional political parties has already started to bring a different perspective to some of the issues that we face. And we need to exert as much pressure as possible on the Democratic Labour Party and the Barbados Labour Party to get them to appreciate that the way that things have been going in this country have been turning off a lot of people.
That is a fact.
And there is a need for them to come to the table with something new and for them to really mean it, not to just do what they have done in previous elections. I'm not saying that everything that they have done in previous elections turned out to be a disappointment. Barbados could not be where it is today.
We know that.
Had it not been for the successes that they brought us. Correct.
Right. But, on the other hand, it seems that after being in office for a while, both political parties then become stagnant. So therefore, like you said, the UPP, they brought fresh ideas, but
they're limited in their fresh ideas from my perspective, though. As I said before, yeah. I find that they're too limited in focusing on just the new economy.
That's right. And the other thing is that the young lady from the city, she is doing what you call a reasonable job. She's getting some support from people. Miss Hayward, Natalie. And I am sure that she will continue to get support. As a matter of fact, I think she's being invited sometime after elections to address a group of black sisters in Barbados.
I really think that's blown out of all proportion. Tell you the
truth. No. You made this meeting? No.
I find that whole nonsense that you all are, you're putting too much emphasis on that. And it is aided and abetted by some elements in this country who seem to be turned on by the whole notion that a prostitute or a former prostitute should be in politics. It is blown out of all proportion, in my judgment.
But actually, young lady, come and address the black.
I'm saying the very fact that you are putting this focus on it to the extent where you think she's going to do this and do what? In my judgment, she is the equivalent of a reality star who has been put there. And I wouldn't even be surprised if ultimately this isn't part of a distraction. So I don't really take it seriously.
Oh, you don't?
No.
If she wins the seat, what you say,
though? Barbados has changed a lot.
Oh, and if Mr. Charles Spicy Lewis could get 30 ex-prosecutes to run, what
my friend,
you say?
I'm not even wasting my time talking about that.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Don't the brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
Hi, morning. I'm calling from Wellhouse Bay Development in St. Philip. Now, we've not had a collection of garbage up here since the 27th of February. Now, we're not allowed to burn anything. What are we supposed to do with all garbage? Any chance of you answering that question for me?
Bit. Then the government that you should put that question to?
The reason I'm laughing is there is no government, is there?
As far as I'm concerned, I am told that we still have a set of ministers. I saw a government minister the other day tell me he's working hard.
So after Parliament was closed, all ministers...
That's not true. The ministers still have their portfolios.
But I know they're still getting paid.
But because they're supposed to be working all like now too.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So you should be in a position to call the ministry responsible and ask them, or the SSA, and ask what's happening with your garbage collection. And if you believe that you're not getting a good enough service, ultimately you should be able to speak to the MP for your particular district, or speak to the minister responsible, because nobody's hearing him. There's all sorts of rumors as to whether he's well or unwell. Nobody can find out where he is. But you should be able to track him down because, you know, he's supposed to be getting money. He's being paid all like no to
That's
work.
Correct. But you just said, you made two statements there. One, nobody can find him. So how am I supposed to track him down?
You might have better skills than most.
Thanks all the same. Just putting that on the word.
All right.
Mr. Ellis, okay.
Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, hi, David.
Yes, morning.
Hi, morning. How are you doing, man?
I'm well.
Good. Look, we called to chat about, and I want have a little conversation with you, really. With all this thing going on in Town Country Planning and the denials and, okay, this is a no-show, this can go, and then we see it putting up in all sorts of things. And then the most surprise story that came out late last year, and I haven't really heard you comment on it or any moderator, as a matter of fact, but it just was something that just gets light from
what
one.
What was that?
I can tell you, from one area to next. And I want to know from you, though, as a man in Town Long, you know, in your profession, has Mark Cummins been pushed or he jumped?
I'm not sure. As far as I'm aware, he's moved to a position where he would not be disadvantaged in terms of his pay and status. So whether he jumped or was pushed, at the end of the day, what matters is, whether he's been disadvantaged.
Right,
indeed, some people suggest to me that it may well be seen as a promotion. So,
David, walk with me. I ain't come to fight with you this morning, arguing the low blows. I want you to look at this here from a reasonable position. Look, the Town and Country Planning is supposed to be a very serious organization or a serious entity in this country, right? This keeps the boundaries and the lineup of Barbados intact, right? And it's not a skinty, it's not a joke, it's a very serious office. And Mark Cummings, seen in that job to be a very serious, no-nonsense person. I think there's nobody else. Sorry, I shouldn't say nobody else, because there'll be somebody around, you know, that fit the portfolio as well, that I know about. As Mark Cummings, he used to be very, very, very resolute. He used to be very firm, right, in his dealing with his discharge of the Town and Country Planning. Then to move you from there, to put you to culture and said, hey, he in disadvantage because he's still getting the same money or even probably a little perk more. That's not the point. The point is, in Town and Country Planning, you want a firm person.
Sorry, I missed what you said just now. What was the last part of what you said?
I said, if you move a firm person like this man that carry out, that execute his duties in Town and Country Planning, right, who seem to be a man that he's not on a tape, at least he don't come over that way, and to move him from Town and Country Planning, who is a serious man.
Look, stop. Let's begin from this premise. You wanted to know whether the man jumped or was pushed.
Yes.
In a world where you are uncertain as to whether he jumped or was pushed, You have now concluded that he was pushed.
I never said that.
Well, you're implying that.
No, I'm not implying that either. I just want you to have a conversation with you. I don't want you to jump words in my mouth.
No. What are you saying? You're saying if you move a man like him, who apparently, from your perspective, is a man with clean hands, then you are likely to find yourself in a position where you're vulnerable to something else.
But you look at the other side. Look at the other side.
I'm not getting involved in that discussion. I'll tell you why. There are some offices in Barbados which, in my judgment, it is worth the while to have people move from those particular positions after a certain number of years. And I think that each individual ought to be in a position to grow, to have a certain diversity of skill and exposure. And therefore, to have a person sit in any position for more than 20 years is, to my mind, not in the best possible interest of that particular organization or department, and importantly, the individual. So there's the other side. There is that other side to what you are presenting, that there are perceived dangers in keeping people in one place for too long. So, there's no one side to that. You understand me?
David White, I agree with you. Mark Cummings is not a spring chicken. And he would have learned the ropes. And I am saying there's nothing wrong with bringing somebody to learn on
the
job.
I don't know enough about Mr. Mark Cummings and the way that he has operated over the years to be involved in a discussion that centers on this personality. I just don't know enough. And I don't know that you know enough either.
You are speaking
largely from the limited information that you have of the man's public persona.
I am not
in a position to delve into it with you.
But David, as a senior journalist in this country, don't you think that you should come to the public today and say you don't know?
Yes.
You should know.
No, because you know what you have to appreciate? That we have a wide span of interests. And when you have to focus on something, you know what you do? You take time out and you go and research it. And then you are in a position to know more.
David.
But you cannot come in a general discussion and automatically know everything. And I'm saying to you, you and I have too much of a difference of opinion on things from time to time. And on this, I am saying to you, I'm not getting involved in any further discussion about Mr. Mark Cummins.
If we
can deal with something in general terms.
Good.
We can, but to get into the nitty-gritty of an individual, a personality, is not on.
The man is a paid public servant.
Yeah, but I don't have enough information to walk with you on this.
David, this is what I'm saying, right? The Town Country Plan is a high-profile public office, right? And all I'm saying with the side attractions, when it's the side attractions, with the thing that go on down there by the cement plant, by the flour mill, the Hyatt Hotel, with the thing there in Coverley, I am saying that it was in the public face. These things was in the public face. Then to learn one morning, hey, the director of the organization gone to another entity. I'm saying that is enough room for speculation. That's all I'm saying, David.
Listen, that's not all that you were saying. If that's all that you were saying, we wouldn't have to get involved in telling you that we ain't going any further with you on the personality.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Okay. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hi, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
You want to identify yourself?
Yeah, this is Leroy McLean.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, I just want to respond briefly to some comments you made with respect to the disposal of these old factory yards.
Yes, please.
Anyone who goes around Barbados and sees the state of these properties would appreciate that over the years they've deteriorated considerably and the value keeps dropping. Mm-hmm. Now, I am a member of the board of the BAMC. However, I'm not speaking on behalf of the board. I'm speaking on my own behalf now. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that probably about 4 years ago, the BAMC started to discuss the idea of disposing of what I called idle assets. You had a whole set of properties around the place that earn no income. And basically, you're paying taxes for them and they're drained. And the decision was made that after seeking the necessary advice, that we should dispose of some of these properties. Now, I want to, and also to let you know that this is nothing that was done by stealth. More than 2 years ago, probably about 3 years ago, there was a big ad placed in the newspapers in Barbados inviting expressions of interest in the purchase of these properties. This is nothing that started yesterday or since, as some people are implying, that since Parliament prorogued that people going off and selling off this and selling off that. That is nonsense. This thing started long ago. And as I said, there were expressions, there was an ad calling for expressions of interest in the purchase of the properties. So if people don't pay attention to what is going on, and then one day they realize, here is something happening. The other thing is, the last time you were on, you made a comment about the Porter site. And you said that this has implications for the supply of water to Portville factory. Now, Mr. Ellis, I think people need to give the people who have to make these decisions a little credit for some common sense. Now, if the well at Porter's supplies water for Portville, do you think that any sensible set of people or any person who is responsible for the disposal of that property would do so in a manner that would jeopardize the supply of water to Portville? In fact, years ago, since it was very possible that at some point in time you will have to dispose of the factory yard, that section of land where the well is located was divided off. So anybody buying the old Porter's yard will not own the land which the well is located on. I think people have to give people a little credit for some common sense,
Okay,
can I
just say to you, I am most appreciative of your coming forward and speaking to this. But I want to say that an ad in a newspaper asking people for expressions of interest in the factory yards cannot constitute adequate discussion with the public of Barbados. In your judgment, does it?
But Mr. Ellis, do you come out and hold a town hall meeting for something like this?
No, there are...
If a board of an entity says, look, we think it's been on advice, and let me also point out to you that this is nothing that was initiated by any minister. The minister's approval was sought for this, and to the best of my knowledge, Cabinet had to approve the advertising. Also, this is not something that you get up. It's not something that you're buying in a shop. If somebody decides, if the board agreed to accept an offer, that offer has to be forwarded to the Ministry of Agriculture. The Ministry of Agriculture then has to prepare a cabinet paper to go to the cabinet before these things can be disposed of. So it isn't anything that you're selling salt bread in a shop that somebody could come and say, I want to buy that, and you took out the money and pay for it. There's a process, and there's a clear and transparent process by which these things take place.
Transparent to whom?
But what I'm saying...
Transparent...
To you,
the point I'm making to you is that, as far as the public is concerned, and I am one of the people who make up the public, what I have seen and what you have told me suggests that that so-called transparency existed between the board, the minister, and the cabinet. The people of Barbados, the people who are Barbados, may I finish? May I finish? The people of Barbados also have a stake in this. And I'm suggesting to you that based upon all that has taken place, I have not heard that kind of discussion, especially in the context of the term divestment. So that's my position. What is your response?
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How much did you know of the sale of Cable and Wireless shares under Erskine Sandiford, Sir Lloyd Sandiford? How much did you know about the sale of the Hilton Hotel Insurance Corporation, the Barbados National Bank? How much discussion was there prior to the disposal of any of these assets?
Well,
tell me.
You know, I can't remember them all, but I do
remember. No, you're not going to remember
but
them
I
all,
do.
But what I'm trying to tell you is
No. You asked me a question and I got to respond. Mm-hmm. Give me the chance to respond. For I know there was a lot of discussion, for instance, about the whole question of Barbadians being allowed to buy shares in the Barbados National Bank when that became an issue. I remember that debate.
Yes, there was that debate.
I will say this to you.
I'm trying to finish the answer to the question.
Let me answer the question that you put to me.
Mm.
Because I also know that there has been a lot of disquiet in this country about other divestment efforts that have been made, all back with Arawak Cement, the BET shares, and all of that. The Democratic Labour Party came to office as a party that was critical of that kind of conduct. And you come and ask me what I heard before. We expected that the Democratic Labour Party, in a divestment program, especially in light of the fact, as you may recall, it poured cold water on divestment in 2013. Therefore, in these circumstances, one would have expected, not that you're going to have a town hall meeting, you don't have to do it that way, but there are other means by which you communicate with the public as to what you're doing, why you're doing it, and what are the potential consequences associated with it. That's my position.
Mr. Ellis, I told you, this matter was communicated to the public through advertisements in the newspaper.
What did the ad say?
The ad, it was not any small ad either.
What did the ad say?
Which stated that these properties, the public was being invited to, I don't remember the details of it, but basically what it was saying, it was inviting the public, not Mr. Brown or Mrs. So-and-so, inviting the public for expressions of interest in the purchase of these properties. Right? And as I told you, it is not a fait accompli. the mere fact that someone expresses an interest in buying a property, it now has to go through a process, and that is where all the matters will come to the fore. But it is not a case where somebody get a, you know, the impression is going abroad as if, you know, here it is. These people know they say they're going to sell off all of these things. They're going to sell off all the, it does not work that way.
You know, the reason why you're blaming the people, and I'm among the people you can blame for that.
I'm not blaming the people. I'm blaming certain people.
I can be blamed for raising the issue because the climate and the environment has been created for this by the way in which the matter has been communicated to the public. That's my position.
But tell me something. What gave you reason to raise it?
What gave me reason to raise it?
Yeah.
Because I know people were talking about it.
Yes, because people were talking about it in a manner that implied that there was something going on, and therefore you felt that it was necessary to bring it to the public.
No, but
when in fact
I considered that it was of the public. It was the public's right to know.
When in fact the same people who may have raised it would have known that this process was going on ever since, but they think that this is the climate in which they should raise it because it will create certain problems for other people.
Well,
that's all.
There are two sides to this. There is your perspective on it, and then there's the perspective that I presented to you, that I think that it is a significantly important issue that we should have that kind of discussion about it and help the public to understand exactly what you're doing.
But
what you are doing right now is something that should have been done earlier.
But, Mr. Ellis, what I'm trying to tell you...
I'm saying that one ad does not do it.
No. But I'm saying what I'm trying to tell you is that at this stage, right,
mm-hmm.
nothing has... You can't say that anything has happened. So, therefore, in order for the process to take place, it has to go through a process which will be in the public view. It is not anything that has to be done secretly. Look, you talk about the debate, the discussion about... the divestment of ICBL.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved in that debate in the Senate. And I remember that the shares were offered at the time when I said that if you are offering shares in December to Barbadians, it is very unlikely that you're going to get many of the average Barbadian taking them up. And that is exactly what happened. Right? So it's not the case that I'm unaware of these things. What I'm trying to tell you is that There's no stealth or any attempt to sell anything to anybody or any favorite persons or anything like that. It's a process which will all of these matters will come to light because the public has to be done publicly.
But didn't the newspaper yesterday say that one of the factory yards has already been sold for $8 million?
It has not been sold. None of these properties have yet been sold. None of them.
So where did the $8 million come from in the paper?
But this is what I'm trying to tell you is that a minister had a house up in St. George or somewhere so too.
No. This was a rumor. This person, that newspaper report, I'm trying to find the newspaper from yesterday. The difficulty of finding it here online.
But I saw the story. But what I'm trying to tell you is that none of these properties have yet been, there's no change of hands for any of the properties yet because it has to go through a process which has not yet been completed.
Okay, they said they understand there's an agreement to sell Hamans for $8 million to a prominent businessman and negotiations are advanced, supporters and Buckley. It would be interesting to find out, though, what is being said within the industry itself. And I hope that some of the people who are within the industry will feed back to us. Overall, though, what I would say to you, Mr. McLean, is that on the concept of privatization, and we've talked about privatizing BNTCL, we've talked about privatizing the Hilton. The discussion about what we are doing with agricultural land, and we know how far back this goes. It goes back to the 80s when we had all of these indebted estates and that sort of thing. Question is, when we move to privatize these particular lands, what is the perception as to where it will take the sugar industry? Is this to spell the death knell of the industry? Or is it, as I am being told by some people, that this is really ultimately going to be about the real estate and how that real estate is developed? And if that is so, what would be the implications for the projected future of a sugar industry in Barbados?
Okay, so give me a little time to explain something there, because you have a number of factors mixed up.
Okay.
Right? Now, first of all, the decision to dispose of these idle assets has nothing to do with this privatization. It is a straight economic measure that you have properties that over the years have sat there and a lot of them falling into disrepair, and you decided to say, okay, it's best to dispose of these things because you don't see any future use for them. None of these properties fall into the category of agricultural land. It is the old factory yards, not agricultural land, okay?
Okay.
So you're talking about old buildings and open spaces. So that has nothing to do with the impact on agriculture. The only impact they would have is that it will provide the BAMC with resources now to use in the agricultural sector.
These factory yards are no longer in use at all?
No, they're not in use. None of them that have been advertised are in use. In fact, the only thing that is done at Hammonds is that the BAMC has a workshop there.
And that workshop is for what purpose?
Which can be easily for repair of BAMC equipment. But that takes up a very small portion of the yard. And that can easily be relocated to Carrington's or somewhere like that where there's another workshop. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing is that the highly indebted plantations that you mentioned, these do not come into the mix at all in terms of any disposal because there is an arrangement between the government and the owners of these plantations to reduce that debt of these highly indebted plantations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no no talk about any sale of those plantations. In fact, if an owner wanted to sell one of those plantations for agricultural purposes, it still has to come back for the government to say, you have to pay off the debt before you can sell this. In the same way as if you had if you have a mortgage and you want to sell your house, you can't just get up one morning and decide to sell it without paying off your mortgage. Right? So those plantations do not come into the mix also. What I would like you to pay attention to is what is happening to the plantations owned by CLECO. And I've raised this on more than one occasion, and nobody paid any attention to it. Nobody said anything about
What's the difference here?
The difference is that you have the CLECO plantations are agricultural plantations, highly fertile lands, Wakefield, Huddersfield, Todd, Bowmanston, and all those, right? So those plantations are currently in bush and coverage and are causing inconvenience for the people of St. John and surrounding areas. Now, what is the decision of the judicial managers with respect to the CLECO plantations? That is what I want the journalists to go there and find out what is happening to those plantations. But nobody is doing anything about that. But it is more salacious to be talking about some government minister or somebody in the government trying to sell off this or sell off that. But I would like the journalists to find out what is happening with the CLECO plantations. That is where the interest should be, because none of these factory yards have any impact, like I said, except for positive impact on the agricultural sector. But certainly the CLECO plantations out of production has a negative impact on agriculture right now. And that is where I would like the focus to be.
Well, the truth of the matter is that I think both of them need to be addressed by us as journalists, because ultimately the state owns these particular assets right now in terms of the factory yards.
Yes.
And I hold fast to the view, Mr. McLean, that it is very important for people in responsible positions in the government to come forward to the members of the public and explain what is being done early so that you can erase or avoid the doubt and suspicion. And I would submit to you all that we do have a climate that is charged with doubt and suspicion at the moment.
But that is the point my point is that
while you are putting the focus on those of us who are raising the questions had to be raised because of the way the communication has been handled on this issue. What you have done today is useful in putting in perspective what is happening with the factory yards. Of course, you know there is another dimension to this, because I tell you that we are living in an environment of a lot of doubt and suspicion, and it all will come back to, and who is buying them, and at what price? Are we getting value for money? Those are the types of questions that people are still going to have. So I hope that having put this on the table and having had your response, that all parties will realize that there is a lot of scrutiny on how government conducts its affairs, and there is a need to communicate with the people in a proper and early time. Now, is there anything wrong with that?
But no, all I could tell you, Mr. Ellis, is that in Barbados, property owned by the Crown cannot be disposed of in a smoke-filled dark room. It has to be disposed of in a clear and transparent manner. And regardless of what expressions of interest there have been or what negotiations are going on, in the final analysis, this has to go before the public for the representatives of the people.
You know full well that part of the challenge you have sometimes is because you are negotiating with private interests. There are also these agreements and attempts to try to avoid putting things out there in the public domain.
But you can't. In all fairness, Mr. Ellis, if someone expresses an interest in purchasing,
you can't give that information at
this
time.
You can't come out there and
precisely.
We acknowledge John Brown with this.
We acknowledge that.
You want that?
But on the question of
remember too that these things are competitive. You know, because
I appreciate that. I'm not
offering and another person's offering.
But I'm not saying you and I are on the same wavelength and where that is concerned. However, you still have to walk that tightrope between not divulging information at delicate stages but ultimately appearing to the public to be transparent and fair. And that is what I'm suggesting to you will be a matter of some concern going forward. Okay?
But all I can do is to give you the assurance, Mr. Ellis, that any entity that I am involved with, that things will be done in a manner that can be held up to public scrutiny, because I've always said I have 3 grandchildren, and nobody is going to point their hand at them and say, "Don't mind you, your father's a thief," right? So I can assure you that anything that they do in any government agency will be done in a manner that it can be held up to public.
I don't know if there's anybody on the line who wants to be part of this conversation. Do you have a difficulty staying online for a few minutes?
As long as nobody who is coming to bring any political nonsense.
Okay, well, we're going to take a commercial break and come right back and see if there's somebody who wants to join us in it. Yes, down to brass tacks. We have Leroy McLean on the line with us for a short while. Do we have another caller there?
Yes, morning, Mr. Ellis.
Morning.
Yeah, morning, Dr. McLean. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, good morning. I'm fine, thank you.
You're joined here by Raul.
Hi, how are you doing, Raul?
I'm remarkable, sir. I wish you well. Now, I must commend you for standing up to Mr. Ellis. All he's trying to browbeat you and push you in a corner, you're not allowing him to do that. No, I am appreciative of the clarity you've brought and respect to. There's a lot of foolishness going on out here and talk about some sinister move and a lot of song and dance about something sold before the knowledge of person thing. And I'm thanking you, Abley, for the clarity you've brought and your kind of assertive approach. And don't let nobody, I like the stance, you don't let nobody drag your name in all mud and point at your children. Your interest in agriculture is a paramount, and your heart is in the right place. You've done tremendously well in respect to agriculture. Now, if the yards are both there, they're deteriorating, the value is dropping. Pray tell me what you should do.
Why were they left to deteriorate?
Why were they left to deteriorate?
Yeah.
Because of the
No, that's not your question. That's a question to him, not to you.
Oh, well, I can't answer this. I can't say why they were left to deteriorate. That is because I have only been involved with this process for the past 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
But I think it's like all other government properties. What happens to all other government properties? If you look around Barbados, you'll see that there are number. Look at the old hospital. Look at the old National Insurance building. You can look around Barbados and you see that this is a something which needs to be addressed when it comes to all Crown properties. When they're no longer in use, what do you do in order to speed up the process that they don't become derelict and lose all the economic value?
Of course, there could have been the option of, in the same way that they're now being sold, the option of leasing and renting could have been available to the government agency. But you see, these are other aspects of the whole management of these things that, will come to the fore.
Yeah, like you said, I agree with you. This is something which has happened. And Roald, thanks for your comments.
You're welcome.
This is something that has happened over the years. And I can tell you that very early when I went on the board, one of the first things that I suggested, I was the person who said we need to dispose of these assets. Because I termed them, the minister referred to them as non-core assets. When I raised it, the first time I raised it, I say that these are idle assets, and these are things that are sitting down there, where you're not getting any revenue from them, and they are cost because you have to pay taxes, the property taxes for them.
And, so what were your suggestions at the time?
My suggestion was that we dispose of them because they and so that we can raise money that can now be pumped into the BAMC's operations. And I have no difficulty with I would stick to that it is necessary for us to dispose of them.
You don't think it's also possibly time for us to dispose of the BAMC too?
Well, no, you can't dispose of the BAMC. Perhaps you can say that the BAMC's method of operations can be tweaked because let me tell you that we got some very hardworking people in the BAMC.
Yeah, but it's the
one
cost,
of the problems.
One of the problems,
the main problem with BAMC is a lack of resources, and this is why it is necessary to look at things like this because the BAMC just does not have the resources to operate in the manner that it should. And I give you an example. There's a plantation which was able to clear off its indebtedness and return to the owners. Now the owners have invested in, as far as I know, probably around $1 million so far in that one plantation, and the plantation is doing extremely well, right? So I'm saying that if the BAMC had the resources to work to really manage these plantations, they would do very well.
But you can't see the BAMC getting those resources in the foreseeable future, not even from selling these factory yards.
No, as the minister pointed out, it was about $70 million. Because, you see, the thing is that people do not understand the BAMC is not only involved in these plantations, you know. The BAMC has to stand the cost of all the sugar that is imported. The BAMC has to absorb those costs, right? They do so at a loss. Right.
So how do we restructure? How do you see us going forward restructuring this particular sector in light of the competing interests here? This is certainly an area where some would suggest to you that the private-public sector partnership becomes more important. We've had a situation where the private sector in the past was not able to make money from these plantations, and that's how they ended up in government's hands. And now that government has them, it has a problem being able to maintain them. So where do we go from here?
First of all, you sure that the private sector was not making money from them? You know,
I don't know.
You know of any of the previous, of any of the owners of plantations in Barbados that are living in poverty?
I don't know their status. I haven't had that opportunity to check their status.
But let me say, the same way
I don't know the status of a lot of people in government neither.
let me tell you, Mr. Ellis, right? That the whole thing of one of the mistakes that we continue to make in Barbados is that we see agriculture as sugar. Not even the sugar cane. We see it as sugar. And if you're not making money from sugar, agriculture dead. Now, you're importing, I look at it from the point of view that you're importing $800 million worth of food per annum. Right? And you have a deficit of over $300 million. No. My view is, one of the first things that we should be addressing is how do we reduce our food import bill. If we decided that we are going to, we had a stated policy that we are going to reduce our food import bill by, let's say, 25% over a two-year period, do you understand the amount of investment that will go into agriculture if people of Barbados knew that there's a,
so what's the difficulty?
There's a market for $200 million over 2 years?
There obviously is a difficulty in doing that because I've heard the talk. I went to the news conference years ago after Dr. Chelston Brathwaite did his study, and I heard all the talk. But
yeah.
So obviously there are obstacles there.
You know the biggest obstacle? People not doing anything. Right. That's the obstacle. Right? And the thing is that if the, you have a number of people who are benefiting significantly from the importation of food and agricultural produce, so anything that you do must involve those people. Because obviously you can ask, well, what is it for them? But I'm saying is this is not something that you can explain in a few minutes on the radio. But certainly I have worked out a plan whereby it can happen. And I am positive that it can happen if we dedicate the time and resources to it.
Somebody asked, as it relates to these discussions and negotiations that are taking place for these factory yards right now, they ask, what can we be told about the status of those negotiations? Where are they right now?
Well, I can't say what the status of them. You're either in discussion or you're not in discussion. You go from discussion to offers, from offers to recommendations, or to accept or reject the offer. So I cannot say this, what point the discussions have reached because I'm not involved in the detailed discussions.
And given the fact that these factory yards would most likely be in areas that have been designated for agriculture, it would suggest to us that whoever is looking to purchase them may well find themselves having to deal with issues of change of use if they so desire.
No, Mr. Ellis, no. The factory yards are not...
They're not seen as agricultural land.
Agricultural land.
Okay.
In the same way, right? Because they're basically... That's where commercial activity was taking place.
Okay.
You got concrete and
yeah, but given the fact that the factory yards in many instances have been surrounded by sugar, to what extent does that restrict what can be done?
No, none of the factory yards, to the best of my knowledge, would have any restrictions based on the growing of canes because you don't have the canes growing right up to the factory. There's a sort of buffer area around the factory, and it would have no implication for the use of the agricultural
land. Let me see if we get another question here. It's either a question or a call of passionate.